have an honest conversation about hip hop. E-Skills on production. What up, hip hop old head? King OG. Park Boys in the building. And you know who I be. It's Son Capone. 2017, and we chiseled up the sculpture. The artists making money, but we do it for the culture. Sipping on mimosas, whipping testosterones. A bunch of young men whose dreams is getting closer. Feel my pain, hear the struggle through my chromosomes. Always shift and see the changes on the totem pole. Got them all, yet today got the scrotum blowed. From the coldest flow to summer, sounded so and so. And if they drop rhymes, tell me who your top five. Is it the newer cats pushing from computer jacks? Spit the newer raps and killing on the viewer steps. It's perceived what they performing on the streaming stage. We used to need the aid, now we used to be in pain. And all the streets are paved, boards we want to keep away. And all alliances and regions that divided us. Let's have a conversation, break away the biases. Let's break away the biases. We gotta break away the biases.
Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.
Yo, what's up? This is Familiar, Dead Broke Entertainment, all the way from San Pedro, California. Gotta let you know, man, one of my favorite MCs, if not the favorite MC, it's gotta be Marshall Mathers, baby, Eminem, that's Slim Shady. One love, everybody.
What's good? This is Matt. I'm in the city of La Habra. Favorite MC, gotta be one of the GOATs, Big L. It's Big L, slow as hell, though. Bitch, get fucked on the roof when I ain't got no hotel, though. Classic.
Is that another caller? I think your signal is low. Can you talk into the phone? I can't hear you. What was that? What was that?
My daddy kicks the bars, suckers!
What's good, family? Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. And as always, got my boys here with me. I'm your host, moderator D. Moraney. And tonight, as always, fellas, go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm going to go ahead and start with my mellow, my ace to the left of me, the one and only.
It's your boy, Son Capone, the greatest rapper never known, sneaking in your baby mama's home.
Through the window.
Through the walls.
Through the walls, like Kool-Aid Man, huh? You bursting through walls on these baby mamas, huh?
Dang. Tropical punch, motherfucker. That's what I'm about to do to that monkey. Tropical punch it out.
Ladies, Son Capone in the building.
In the building.
And with me, my one and only Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides.
A.K.A. Big Pooh. Big Block 38 Stroker. 383 Stroker. There you go.
383, yeah. All right. And my guy to my right,
King OG in the building. You already know, sir, smoke a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So we are here for an episode we're going to dedicate to beef. The new Pusha T joint dropped today. The story of, what is it, Adon or something like that. So cats are waiting, and we'll get into that. Before we go ahead and get into that, for those of you that are aware, we have joined a podcast network finally. Over the past year, we've just been grinding, doing our own thing, and just kind of looking at what was out there and what made sense. And so Sunday it was announced that we are going to be a part of the digital podcast network. And for those of you that are familiar or might not be familiar with or are familiar with some of the names that have shows that are on that network, big shout out to Doggy Diamonds, the Goodfellas, and Portia Coleman have a show on there. Brandon Browner has Unplugged on there. Crazy Bone and the After Hours podcast. Freeway Ricky Ross. Our brothers AJ and SJ over at the Connected Experience. The Plug podcast. And a whole bunch of other talented urban podcasters and content creators on there. So we're very humbled to be mentioned with some of these other names. So big ups to everybody who made that happen. And we can't wait to bring the show to a bigger platform and continue to give you all bigger and better content. So let's go ahead and get past all that, and let's get into tonight's discussion. So Pusha versus Drake, we know this goes back at least, what, like 5 years, something like that, when Push was coming for Birdman and Wayne. I think it was went on that Exodus joint or whatever. And you had that period of time where Pusha was doing more.
Started before that. They started beefing over fucking Baby Napes, nigga. Over who was wearing Bapes first and shit.
And how far was that? That was like, what, 2001?
Shit.
10?
Yeah. Early.
So this is a beef that's been out for, you know, it's been simmering for a while.
Started with Wayne and Pusha in the clips, and then it kind of stemmed over to Drake.
Right. So at some point Drake got in the mix. So Pusha drops his latest project, and there's that track Infrared on there where he's, you know, reigniting, you know, beef, taking shots at Drake, taking shots at Wayne. You know, he said some real cold shit about Wayne in the track. And then Drake then drops, what's it called, Duppy or some shit like that? Yeah. Drake drops the Duppy track, which is the softest, I think, diss record name ever, but, you know, we'll get past that. Drops the Duppy track, makes some, he had some comments. I don't really like to call them bars, but whatever. He had some lines in there that were, you know, directed at Push. And then today, Push comes back and he drops the Story of a Don beat. We'll get in our track. We'll get into that a little later. So I'm gonna start with you, Syme. At this point of the beef, who appears to be holding the upper hand, or do you think it's, what do you, you know, where do you think it's at? What do you think?
Nah, I mean, Push, especially today, he got the upper hand right now. You know, I mean, Drake got to definitely respond because he getting personal. Either he got to respond or he got to whoop his ass. So, obviously, we know it's Drake, so we got to respond.
You think Drake, honestly, you think Drake is running up on Pusha T?
Man, they both little motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, shit.
Nah. Push is Push is way bigger than Drake. He tall, way taller than.
Yeah, I don't see Drake wanting to get physical. I mean, there was some rough shit that was said on this record that would make somebody.
I understand kids and shit.
But do you think
see,
this is
Drake, the one that brought the whole family member issue into the?
He mentioned the fiance.
Matter.
Yeah, he did.
Fiance,
so do you think
but
this
the
is
mama, nigga? Man, come
so
on,
what? Ain't no rules.
I'm a warn the motherfucking world. Anybody say anything about my mama? We doing this shit.
Man, ain't no.
I'm running up on your motherfucking ass.
So no record, no nothing. You running up?
Yeah, I'm. Record, I'm getting prosecuted for fucking attempted murder for your bitch ass. That's on everything. You don't play that shit.
So mama's is definitely out of
Man, niggas ain't talking about skeeting on niggas' baby seats. Shit, nigga,
didn't Chino XL once say, you know, rest in peace to Affinity Core, but didn't he say
mama,
yeah. Yeah, he called
mama
so mama's been in play for a minute. I'm not saying
I know
some serious shit.
It.
Right. So
you think that's what he got to respond.
Nigga said call Pac He said something about got your balls blown off, so now I'm gonna call you One Pot, nigga. Talking about he got one nut. Nigga.
Who was that, Chino?
Yeah, live on the fucking radio.
Yeah, nigga. Chino.
Nuts
Chino
is cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about nuts.
He said, call him One Pot, nigga. After he shot himself, nigga, trying to pull out on niggas. Nigga. Come on.
Oh, that's what touch you, nigga.
That ain't no right.
Nah, that wouldn't bother me. But you talk about mom, I'm fucking your ass up, nigga. Fuck a mic.
So you think that you definitely feel Drake has upper hands?
No.
Pusha T definitely
got the upper hand. Like I said, man, he went personal. He killed that motherfucker. You know what I mean? So
fuck y'all expected.
Yeah.
These young motherfuckers was just Drake bias and shit. They had the memes out like it was over. I was like,
right.
I ain't even gonna say nothing. Do they know that Push ain't from this generation? Like,
so let me ask you this: were you kind of disappointed it took Push longer than what you expected, or was there no expectation on your part?
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. He let him think that, oh yeah, he got one up on me. Like, okay, he strike first, because really Push came with a couple of bar or two here and there. He didn't really have a diss record. So Like, that's why, like, these young cats don't even really know how to judge a battle. Push through a shot, a little jab. But then Drake came
right.
with
Push put 40. Out the bait, and yeah, then the Drake took Drake. It.
Mm. So this is the first round now, not the record that's on his album. So this is round one, and now we starting round two.
So in your opinion, you have push 1-0. Okay, so you have push 1-0. So Push next first round.
I give
round.
Drake his props. He tried to strike like he was coming for the throat. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that ain't enough.
So in boxing terms, would you say it's a 10-9 rounds?
I say no. I don't even give what's the name a 10 on that. I say about a.
Well, in boxing, somebody has to get a 10 to win the round.
10 to win the round. So yeah. I say like 10-7.
10-7. Dang. So yeah, that you think it was that?
Knock the fuck down.
Yeah. That's so you think that was that? Okay. Knocked down, but got back up. Okay, Mr. Bootlegs and B-Sides. You know, how do you feel about how do you feel about the beef for the battle so far?
I mean, I think it's good for the culture. Well, I can't even say the culture no more because shit is just watered down. But it's good for
thanks a lot, fellas.
It's good for the heads like us who respect hip hop because it's sad it is to say, even though I feel like Pusha came with the response and killed him off so far, to the masses, Drake still won this shit so far. I think it's a battle that Pusha can't win. Just because of nowadays, it's a popularity contest, and I know exactly. we're gonna get deeper into that type of subject later on when it comes to one of the biggest rappers ever.
Right,
I don't
want to
spoil it, but this day and age, like the it's popularity.
They already chose
it's popularity contest.
Yeah, you know, because and this is the thing about Drake. You know what I mean? Y'all know I'm not a Drake fan. I don't listen to his music personally like that, so I can't really say too much, but. When Joe Budden was eating his ass alive, this nigga wouldn't even respond. Like I don't even consider him an MC like that. Like
I agree.
This is like some lightweight shit, but just to stay on subject, I think Push got him so far. It's probably about like you said a 10-8. I think
10-7.
I say 10-8 because of course I don't think Drake said everything he wanted to say yet either. I mean
Drake even write the damn diss record by itself?
That could be true.
We have to question that because this nigga got a fucking ghostwriter.
Well, I mean, we know he's a ghost. Here's my logic. When I hear anything from Drake, I'm going to expect it is a collaborative effort with someone.
Exactly.
So I don't judge Drake's overall music like that. But then when you try to bring Drake into one of the top MCs out, that's when you get to have that conversation. He has ghostwriters.
After that diss, they got the nerdy putting the goat emojis next to Drake and shit. Like, these niggas is out of their fucking mind.
But let's examine that. So who's doing that? The youngsters are doing that. And then we got to look at it.
That's
how long?
Retarded.
But how long has Drake had his run? Let's break away from beef. The conversation with beef for a minute. Let's just talk about that. Drake is on a decade almost run.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
but
one
he's
of the
like they Nas, they Jay-Z.
He's there more. It's different. You can't put him in.
Because in their eyes, that's how they look at him.
Ooh. I mean, I look at it like this. Like D was saying, shit. Honestly, even with Nas and Jay and the rest of these niggas we like, ain't none of them been on a 10-year run on the top. Even as dope as Nas is. In a 10-year span from 93 to 03, that nigga had some frisbees out there. You feel me? So
damn.
Even Jay-Z got some real shit.
Damn,
you
gotta
think about it. Niggas not judging Drake on an equal playing field.
You hate him more than Keelis.
Because at the end of the day, that nigga's a fucking R&B singer. He's a pop singer.
No, I'm not. I'm not defending Drake.
No, I'm just saying like niggas judging him off of other shit. They love Drake for more than just bars.
Because bars ain't hip hop no more.
Yeah,
to the fair weather.
So how
fan.
Could you be a fucking R&B singer and be in the MC mention?
That's what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying. When we have that conversation of putting Drake into the MC conversation,
it's fucking insane.
You can't. It's automatically null and void because he has
help.
He has collaborative.
He has help,
courses.
Motherfucker.
So,
and he's
so,
the right hue too, nigga, to help his fucking career.
Right.
Let's keep it 1,000, nigga.
No, that's you're
that
right in regards
Ace
to that.
Ace Hood's tone, nigga, the career wouldn't have panned out.
Shit. It'd be Ace Hood. And no disrespect. That's just I mean, we're comparing the careers. But what I wanted to say was
nothing makes your career more bright than waking up
life. He's crazy. So with Ace with Drake and this 10-year run, I mean that puts him at a level that these youngsters in the age in what bracket? Between what, 18 and 24, 25, maybe 30?
I got a perfect comparison for Drake.
Under 30.
And the nigga I'm comparing it to did have some more rugged, hardcore shit when he was younger. But the only person comparable to Drake, in my opinion, is LL.
Yeah.
He's that type of guy.
Well, yeah, but Drake got a long way to go to catch LL's run.
Run, exactly. Span. But I mean,
it's a little deeper, though, because he's a full-blown fucking R&B singer at the same time.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, as far as popularity, like,
yeah,
it's different. He's a pop star. That rhyme that got a fucking
to catch LL.
He caught both.
He's
lanes.
Got to still.
Exactly.
He's still got to have enough appeal to the media and to his fan base to have people attach him to different vehicles. Like LL will be unemployed as long as people still see LL. You know, he'll be employed, and as long as they see LL, they're gonna keep giving him a job. You know what I mean? Will Drake hold up, down that time span?
It depends on how he transitions. I believe that just because of the way they like him, he can transition back into TV and keep himself relevant for another 10, 15 years.
True,
because
that's originally where he's from.
And I didn't even, this is not some premeditated thought. Now, when you think about it, look at the comparison to Drake and Pusha reminds me of the late 90s when LL went in with Cannabis. We all know Cannabis ate that nigga alive.
Right.
LL popularity made it seem like to the masses who don't really know hip hop that LL won that battle. Yeah. We all know he's true.
Yeah, he got his ass tarred and feathered.
This is what this reminds me of. I think Push is gonna body this nigga terribly, but because Push is not marketable and the bitches ain't checking for niggas with motherfucking braids from 87, he's not that guy. So it's unbalanced. But to his hip hop cast, we know the deal. We know Push is a superior MC.
But Joe handed that nigga his ass repeatedly, back to back.
But
the young motherfuckers act like that shit never happened.
Because I respect Joe Budden as an MC, as a podcaster, all that shit. But when it comes to the masses, Joe Budden is fucking Shad Moss. He's Bow Wow. Laugh at him.
Well, yeah, they do because they don't know the real culture. But I'm just saying that these niggas got selective memory and shit. They overlook what they want to overlook, and then nigga, like, I just seen somebody today say that Drake addressed everybody that came at him and bodied them. Like,
of course
what the
he
fuck
didn't.
Are you talking about?
Of course he didn't.
Come on.
So
now.
Who hasn't he addressed? Other than Joe Budden, who else has Drake not addressed?
To be honest,
Kendrick.
Well, isn't there supposedly some little subliminals and 7 a.m. in Calabasas or 4 p.m. in Malibu, whatever that track
was?
He
never addressed Kendrick in the way that he addressed Pusha.
No, of course not.
Kendrick took a shot at that nigga on a fucking award show that dedicated his whole fucking verse to Drake.
So
a shot at Drake.
We're going to jump ahead a little bit to kind of follow that. What you're saying is, so it's, we were going to talk about the cats that nobody wants smoke with. And, you know, Royce just made a statement a week ago on Twitter when all this was cracking, saying, I wish one of these, one of these cats would. Like, basically saying, I wish somebody would put my name in the mix. So,
make an example out of somebody.
Do you feel that Royce is one of those cats that these industry dudes don't want smoke with?
These new niggas ain't built
for the new cats, no way.
You got to go 30 and up. 35, yeah. Somebody that's a seasoned vet to fuck with Royce, nigga. Yeah. These new niggas ain't
Royce
for
too
that
tough.
Shit.
So let's say this: what if Drake and Royce had some sort of beef?
Is that
going to be a hip hop opinion, or in public conversation? I mean, is Drake still going to be perceived the winner just because of his?
He already gonna have the bias win because he's Drake and the status.
Royce would have to go back to the early 2000s with the rhinestone bandanas and shit to even compete on that level. You feel me?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
He clowned himself about that shit. Like, what the fuck was I on, nigga, with the rhinestones? With the pop stars and
this
all
is
that
debate,
shit.
But, you know, it's an honest conversation. I got to keep it 100.
No. I'm just saying, wow, because you're taking me back.
He was tripping.
Hey, we out here talking shit, so it's all love.
Who was that? Lena Ford, nigga? That nigga did a song with?
I feel what you're saying, but see, to be honest with you, I know, you know, I've been knowing Royce since back in the Eminem days, right, and right, Slaughterhouse and all of that shit. But to be honest, I never checked for, I never listened to a project, never listened to none of his shit, because he just, I don't know, maybe I'm just one of them weird niggas where when I see a nigga looking a certain way, I just don't even give him a chance. Mm-hmm. But then I just recently heard his new project, and I'm like, this nigga, this shit dope as fuck.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to go back and do my homework on Royce. As dope as he is, I didn't know it because the nigga
Prime
looked a certain
for
way.
This nigga and it just blew this nigga
Yeah,
away,
man, Prime 2 is amazing, man. That Cocaine is my favorite song out right now. I love that track, man, where he's singing, talking about
Book
his daddy.
Ryan,
yeah, Book of Ryan.
To me, in order for, like, this to be real, though, even though I never checked for him, for him to be associated with Crooked and Joe and Joel Ortiz, three of the best of the past 10 years, I knew he had to have some shit to him, so I finally heard it. Because what happens is, unfortunately, the dopest MCs in the game for shit seemed like the history of hip-hop pick trash production. Yeah. So when niggas' beats is off, I just can't fuck with it. So I never really give these niggas a chance. But from what I heard Primo doing it on that shit, it was just like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I've been said this shit a long time ago. I'm an old school Eminem fan, but I always said, nigga, I like Royce a little bit better. Remember I used to tell y'all that
shit?
Yeah,
yeah.
Nigga, it's showing and proving now, nigga. Like M was nasty, but I always like Royce a little bit better.
I just
think
hip-hop is fucked up because we know who the Supreme MCs are, but it's like...
It's like
we lost hip hop. We got hip hop in our souls and our heart, but as far as the culture, like as far as the mainstream hip hop shit, our thought, the way we think, it doesn't matter anymore, and it's kind of fucked up. Hopefully, it'll switch around one day because niggas like Drake can be considered one of the dopest battling niggas, It's like Malibu Most Wanted type shit. Like, fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Oh, Gamecast-ass nigga.
That shit sounds so monotone. Like, I'm used to aggression. Like, we from the West.
I can't believe that nigga.
Like, you know, when I was a youngster, you heard, like, the old MCs in New York, different boroughs going at it. It was aggression. When you hear the West Coast, East Coast, it was aggression. Now we got niggas out here talking about just Drake, his whole way that he speaks and... Just his vernacular, the way he's just terrible, man. Like the homie Molly G said, like these niggas is just where is it at? Like, I don't know, man. Niggas gonna think I'm a Drake hater. I just hold hip hop to a higher esteem than this soft ass shit that we listening to. It's so hip hop is so whack that a nigga like Drake getting into a battle with somebody becomes a trending topic.
Headline.
He's really not that guy.
Right. Instead of focusing on a lot of dope albums being out, you know, Nipsey's out, The Royce is out, Black Thought's about to go ahead and drop. I know I'm forgetting a lot of stuff because I'm not in my right mind now, but there's been a lot of solid projects.
Nigga, it's so hard that MCs with
you know
out right
that
now.
Have dropped this year. I think Styles P had something that dropped that
too.
Jim Jones. I haven't heard of Jim yet, but a lot of people are co-signing the Jim Jones. What's Jay's nephew?
Oh yeah, Skyzoo.
Skyzoo dropped
too.
Something that was hard.
Conway dropped some shit.
Yeah,
it's a gang of shit.
So there's been a good year for hip hop. You know what I mean? So, something like this comes and beef and transforms the game. So let's go there. And let's talk about two beefs that definitely transformed hip hop. And we're gonna just talk about this musically. We're not gonna. There's on one side there were deaths, a lot of deaths. On the other side there was madness too. So we're just gonna talk about musically, not who killed who or how many bodies. None of that. We're not gonna go there. So we'll just talk about musically. What do you feel transformed hip hop more musically? East Coast versus West Coast beef. So. Bad Boy, and then Death Row, and then the little pockets that jump from that. Or Nas versus Jay-Z, which had the beanie and the locks, beef going down. Freeway was in the mix. There was a lot of good music that was generated, you know, from that. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start with you, King OG. You tell me, which one do you think transformed hip-hop more musically?
I think the Pac Big thing was more... It was more attractive, but the Nas J thing elevated battle rap to a next level, because it was always great battle records, but not with the bars to that level, with the lyrical content being that high. It was ones where niggas got hella disrespectful and talked about niggas' baby mamas and kids and, you know, niggas getting beat up and embarrassing niggas, but it was never a battle to that level for the public. Like Nas and Jay-Z was like
two gods.
It's like Kane and one of them niggas battling back in the days for the late 80s, early
Kane and Rakim going
at it. You know what I mean? So it was like it was kind of like opposites. It's like exact opposites. You know what I mean? For the streets, the Pac shit and Pac and Big shit impacted more for like the street element, but as far as like lyrical content and MCing and all that, the Jay and Nas shit took that to a whole nother level.
Okay, yeah. What about you, Son Capone? Which one do you think transformed hip hop more?
And I would have to disagree. I would think that the East Coast West Coast beef that changed the whole game. I mean, shit, that's how we got into the shiny suit era. You know what I mean? Because that shit didn't happen before that beef. You know what I mean? So musically, all together transition and from that beef itself. You know what I mean? And with Pac going out, you had Ja Rule come in and fill that fucking lane of Pac. You know what I mean? But doing tracks for the girls, that, yeah. And that's where that was more trendsetting than fucking what fucking Jay and Nas did. I mean, Jay and Nas was like the ultimate heavyweight fight of the fucking world. That was some Foreman versus Ali type shit. But nah, I think the East Coast West Coast beef impacted music more than what Jay and Nas did.
It was more popular. You can market that more on a bigger level than that. That's why it seems like it was bigger. But the effects of the niggas still talking about Ether right now to this day.
No, of course they talk about Ether. But Nas, you know what I mean? But Nas is working for Jay right now. You know what I mean? Like, Nas is working for Jay. That, you know what I mean? Like, that shit fizzled out. You know what I mean?
Nas didn't work for Jay. Nigga, Jay worked for Def Jam. He was a label head, nigga, and Nas was signed to the label, not to Jay-Z.
And Jay is the president, so the president chooses and recruits
the CEO
talent.
Or is he the CFO? No, he's a fucking worker. He's taking orders.
He's
from
a worker. This
he
mother,
taking
yeah,
orders.
He's fucking cooking chimichangas and
he
shit.
He's high up. I don't care how high you are.
Nas' new shit, like, that's nice.
That's
fuck out of here. The president is the president, motherfucker.
The president is still a fucking worker.
The only position where a president has no power is the United States government. But in the motherfucking business and the corporation, the president is the motherfucking, he is the one overseeing everything.
That's a double whammy. A nigga serve your ass and then you want to sign him afterwards? Fuck out of here.
Well,
I'm
saying it.
Not Jay.
Honestly, Jay was the label head.
Yeah,
Nas
Jay
was signed.
Jay looked silly, nigga. Not Nas. He served his ass up, and then he turned around and signed the nigga and help promote this nigga's next fucking project. What are you talking about?
Look, I'm a Nas fan, like, through and through. You know what I'm saying? Even though he had some Frisbees, you know what I mean? There was some dope shit on those Frisbees. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, but I feel like Nas dropped the ball. I remember hearing 50 said a long time ago, even though he won the battle with Jay, I feel like he dropped the ball because Nas had the power to 50 Cent the game at that time, and he didn't run with it. At that time, he was supposed to be able to take over Jay because he had it, but
that ain't in his character.
I mean, I'm just saying.
He ain't 50 Cent, so that ain't in his MO to try to
lock the game up.
50 said, that was true. But
I mean, he could have.
Capitalized
where he could have had his own. Like, he tried to do his shit with the Bravehearts, but
that
he just,
was the time to take it to the next level.
To get back to the subject matter at hand, the East Coast West Coast versus Jay and Nas.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think Jay and Nas is one of the greatest battles ever as far as those first two tracks. But to me, I really don't look at it like game changing. I guess with the little subordinates of them niggas doing their shit on the side, it made it bigger. But as far as musically, nah, because it was really only two tracks. With Pac and Big, that was just...
It changed the whole complexion, man.
I mean, it niggas got a chance worldwide to see what the West Coast was about. Basically, the West Coast killed hip-hop and ushered in the shiny suit because both them niggas got smoked over here. you know what I'm saying, on some whole other shit. But as far as them two niggas going at it, that was like Mayorga versus Trinidad. I mean, Biggie was Mayorga. He got his ass whooped. It wasn't even close. When the nigga said, nigga,
we love y'all, New York. We love y'all.
Hey, my favorite
season. So wait. So you're saying that in the Big Pac beef, that Pac slaughtered Big?
It wasn't close. The reason why is because y'all niggas is talking about Drake and Pusha, and Pusha saying this and saying that. With Pac and Big, it was so personal that it wasn't hip hop. I heard Pac on an interview talking about he remembered having Biggie at his house begging bitches to fuck him. That wasn't rhyming. The nigga was saying that shit. Like, so it went further than hip hop. You feel me?
He embarrassed me.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't even fair. Then the opening line of his track was, "That's why I fuck your bitch, you fat motherfucker." There's no coming back from that.
But if you believe that to be true, though.
Even if it wasn't, nigga, just coming across, nigga, the beat having
just for a motherfucker to say. So even if it wasn't, then why would
it was believable? Because Big had one eye on the West Coast and one on the East. This nigga eye was bicoastal. I believe he had the bad bitches to fuck a nigga whose eye was bicoastal.
No, but just think
rest
about
in
it.
Peace, man. Just Smalls, think about it, though,
nigga. Nigga, Pac was a man when Big was trying to make it, so it makes it seem like, nigga, a lot of that shit could have been true like that. Like, he may have been putting dubs on certain shit.
Big didn't argue it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Nigga, they got shit now where they showing videos where them niggas was wearing the same jewelry, like, where Pac could have passed his shit down and left Biggie with shit, or some kind of weird shit where they had the same shit on. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
Like, we all know Biggie was a supreme MC, one of the greatest ever. You know what I mean? No doubt, no question. But that doesn't mean just because he's more talented than Pac that
he won that battle.
He lost it. Because it's crazy because of that type of hip hop. You know, and I don't want to be biased because most of the niggas I fuck with is from the East, but Pac had that West Coast in him. That's that N.W.A. versus Ice Cube. Niggas got personal. Like, hip hop before that was niggas was talking about the bridge is over and other little simple shit like that. Niggas wasn't getting personal.
But Big killed him though on what was that? Was it Long Kiss Goodnight where he said you got raped in jail?
After Pac was dead.
Well, no, I mean he couldn't control that.
And that beat was whack.
He couldn't control that.
Hey, Pusha T can control this disc dropping 2 days after the album drop.
But you can't tell me Big can do that from the Afterlife Puff dropped that 2 weeks earlier.
Who shot you was for Nas and it wasn't even for Pac.
That was for Nas. Pac was tripping. We're not gonna get into
sensitive over here.
I don't want to look like a Pac hater because you know I'm.
What do you mean you don't want to look like a Pac hater? Let the truth be told.
I sound like a real hater because of the shit that I say, but I'm a fan of all these niggas, but I'm still going to speak my piece. At the same time, Big did say that shit about Pac getting raped in jail, but it didn't make an impact on me because I heard Chino say that shit in 96.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is if you just listen to the song, people glance over the ether he was spitting in Long Kiss.
Made sure that nigga he jumped over Chino, nigga. Chino XL, fuck you too. That's all he got.
Chino got to fuck you too.
I'm not rapping against this nigga. I'm gonna shoot this nigga and say fuck you on the record. That's it.
I mean, it's different to me because I feel like once the bar is set where a nigga is coming personally at you, like how y'all say Pusha just did Drake. Yeah. Drake's only response could be on that same level. If you come with that same little
bullshit,
it's not the same. That's how I feel about Big and Pac. Like, Pac came so personal at Big, and Big came with bars, but it was just like in a hip hop sense, more of an MC instead of
Pac
battle.
Knew his
but
only
Pac
way.
Knew that was his only way
shot.
To win
I
the
gotta
battle.
Get personal. If I did smash your chick, I'ma say it. I mean,
even if I didn't, nigga,
I mean,
cause
Chino XL, fuck you too. Because I don't have the bars.
You can't battle that.
I think people blow up, hit him up too much. It's a great song, but we got to talk about the Outlaws verses on that. That shit was whack. Get out the way, yo. I mean, come on, man.
The difference is the Outlaws got on something and shot back. You know what I mean?
But at that time, what
was Biggie doing?
But back then at that time, you know, the game was different. It wasn't looked at like that shit was super weak. And then it showed...
I'm saying it's a diss record that hasn't aged well.
No, for them niggas to be dissing them niggas and that... like that hard, nigga, they only an hour or something away from each other, nigga. So it wasn't like them niggas couldn't run into them niggas way quicker than they, like, nigga, them niggas can come from Brooklyn over to Jersey, nigga, and fucking in a, at a quick hour, hour and a half, and be in their hood. So
I think we could have
went down.
No, I understand that, but quicker. What I'm saying is, let's talk about just the song.
Mm-hmm. I mean, music.
If you step back now, how many years later? Has it really aged as well as some other
but was there diss a Biggie, tracks? Was there a Biggie diss better than Hit 'Em Up?
No.
And no, that's all opinion. No. I think everything after Pac, I think everything after Pac's verse on Hit 'Em Up was pretty marginal. It was kind of I would have liked it to be more of a
Whopper bar and all.
I would have liked it to be a more Pac song. The Outlaws had way better verses. I like their music. I fuck with the Outlaws. I just thought, now that we step back, if you look at that and you look at other classic diss tracks, that one hasn't aged that well.
I mean, cause the reason why is because as explicit as Hit 'Em Up was, that shit in my mind is like, how do you want it? It's so played out that it's not going to stand the test of time because nobody want to hear that shit no more. You feel me? Like, how all the Pac's main shit, America's Most Wanted, How Do You Want It, all that kind of shit is so
commercial. His commercial songs was trash.
They were editing Hit 'Em Up and playing that shit on the radio. It got radio play even though it was right. So vulgar.
No, Pac's a star, definitely.
So it kind of killed. He's killed one of the icons. I wouldn't want to hear that shit now either.
But it, I mean, when cats drop these, you know, what's the best beep track and all that type of shit. Hit 'Em Up is gonna at least be 25% of the consensus. It just because we tired of it, not everybody else is tired of this shit. So I mean,
listen, people still like the song. I'm just saying, musically, you look at it, you listen to it.
People got smashed worse than
I mean, musically, you know, to me, musically, Ether was trash.
Really, you thought Ether's trash?
I think Ether was trash. Musically,
you think it's just
lyrically,
boring?
It was superior, but yeah. the sonic sound of it was
the,
whatever.
The beat was too different.
Like, yeah. What was Jay's diss? I forgot the name of the fucking song.
Super Ugly was whack too with that Beatles sample.
The takeover is what started it.
The takeover, even though Jay lost by a long margin or wide margin,
he had the better song.
He had the better song.
Yeah, no,
because
no.
The sound of yeah. it sounded better.
See, that's another bullshit fucking part of the game, Jay. Nigga, he only talked about Nas on the last verse. Nigga, the whole song, nigga, he was talking about Mobb Deep and all kind of other. Because
he threw a shot and got killed on the response.
Yeah he wasn't expecting Nas to come back with Ether.
Basically, so he just got Drake's right now. Like, the same thing that he had. Nigga,
so let's talk about that. That's a perfect segue. Jay has been, I'll say, uppercutted a few times in the game. You know, you had outside of Ether, you know. You had Cameron with, was it You Gotta Love It?
Yep.
He got Jay on that one. You had Jim Jones. What was the Jim Jones joint?
Oh, no. Jim can repeatedly fucking chastise Jay.
Like he said, he kept pecking at him. Yeah, like bird.
Nigga. Peck bird.
To be honest with you, Jay-Z is the biggest, in two ways, he's the biggest beneficiary of Pac and Big dying. Number one,
blow until they died.
Niggas, see, these youngsters don't know Jay-Z was out when them niggas was alive. He didn't blow until the game got watered down and his biggest competition was like Master P and Puffy with the shiny suit. So Jay kind of rose above.
But if X you go, fell off.
Yeah, if you go back to 96, I can't even think of the tracks because a lot of shit was underground. But Pac came at that nigga too. Jay-Z
was like a nobody. He was like a sideline.
Pac
would have
killed Jay-Z before he got started. Yep. Pac wouldn't have got killed. Yep. And on everything. Jay-Z would have stood
nigga,
shot.
Mobb Deep was a bigger factor than Jay-Z at that point. So he gave them more attention than Jay. Nigga, and that shows you. Nigga, Jay was an up and coming nigga, a little nigga. And he was like, I'm going to deal with Nas and these niggas is the big
and
fish.
That's the same thing. That's the same way I feel about Chino XL. He, of course, we know Chino XL better MC than Pac, but who was Chino XL? Nobody. Chino XL, as dope as he is still, no disrespect, nobody. In the big scheme of things, if you want to look at it in that way, like, nigga, he can still walk down the street and nobody know who he is.
The fame game, exactly. You don't know who he is.
So, if you want to use that for Pac against Jay, it's the same thing with Chino XL. He could say, Chino XL, fuck you too. Nigga was like, who the fuck is Chino XL?
Yeah, nah, I feel you on that. He was, unless you, you know, were tapped into hip hop at that time, you know, wake up show, shit like that, you know what I mean?
You didn't know who he was.
Yeah, you didn't know. So it was definitely, you know, a higher level of having to have a hip hop mentality.
See,
so
that's another thing, too. A lot of cats, they so caught up on this Eminem shit, they think he's the only the MC that's on that level that spit like that. And it's a whole generation of niggas that came before him that was above him and still in higher regard. M is just a branch off of that tree.
He brought it to the commercial market.
Commercial scene. Yeah. So they think he's the originator, nigga, when it was Raz Kazis and Chinos and Crooked Eyes and all kind of niggas been doing that shit. Even Corrupt in his early days, that was on some super stupid lyrical shit. Eminem is a baby.
Crooked Eye.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Raz Kaz. You know Raz Kaz, Saphir back in the days. Yeah. You know what I mean? Casual. Beat fucking Biggie in a battle.
Yeah, that's facts.
Facts. You nigga on tour. You know what I mean? So, like.
You want to speak on some facts? We speaking on what's the name? Royce caught a body from motherfucking Mr. Fab.
Mr. Fab. Yeah. Mr. Fab was in my top 10. And Royce spoke on it on Dream Champs. He said the nigga Fab caught him. He didn't expect that shit coming off the head, and he wasn't ready for that shit. It happens.
It definitely happens.
You get caught off guard one night, and it's just not your night, nigga. Nigga, it happens. You'll get caught slipping.
If you're out there battling, that's the shit that you're going to, you know, go up against. It might not be your night. You know what I mean? You never know who you're going to come across. If you're just out there freestyle. I'm not talking about the, you know, setup and you know, three round shit.
It's about being two L's.
Yeah, they're saying you should be in the cypher.
He came out here and did good, but he got on by taking two L's. Yeah. He lost the Juice, and he lost the Otherwise. And Dre still picked him up.
I think
motherfuckers don't know nothing about that shit.
What motherfuckers is missing? Well, the thing that hasn't been spoken on yet tonight is when it comes to this hip hop beef, it's normally like, you know, for sport, it's jab back and forth. It's never personal. I think the difference between Jay and Nas, even though Jay fucked the nigga baby mama and all that extra shit, Pac in his mind actually believed that Biggie them tried to kill him. So that's what changed it. Like this shit with pushing them, it's. These niggas are never swinging on each other.
Didn't believe in his mind. Biggie was trying to kill him. We know he did not believe that.
I mean, see, that's, it depends on who you're a fan of. Niggas who like Big gonna say, well, Big doing this. And niggas who like Pac gonna say, Pac doing that.
Fab Freddy got the tapes. He got the audio.
I think Pac really believed that shit.
I think, but you know what? After, I think he knew the truth. But after it started, he ran with
it. Was already of course, too late. Yeah, it was already too late once he found
best
out.
Best promotion.
That,
yeah, so he did
like,
what he had to do.
I didn't already open the can of worms.
See, that's the thing with niggas like us. We've been through generations of real battling. So I may be a little different, and I know the show is for the masses, but my hip hop battling expectation is a little higher. Like,
yeah, that's it, like dope. Child's play.
Yeah, like even as dope as Pusha just is and what he just did to Drake. That shit is still marginal, elementary to me. Yeah. Like,
we've seen freestyle battles that was better than that shit. That
right, but we gotta take it for face value, what it is right now.
Yeah. This generation don't know what real battling is. That's what I'm saying. Even with the battlees, they don't know what real bars, like real authentic, real gutter, real battle bars is.
Well,
they
it's changed. It's
it
evolved, and the ears have evolved with them, so... You know, it's what's current to them now.
The shit that's stinging to them wouldn't even last in a freestyle battle back when I was coming.
Look, this may sound
killed yourself.
We had to be able to rap on that level of they diss records off the top of the head.
Yeah, I feel you. And to get back to the subject, as far as how D was saying music, this is, you know, totally different battle, but just quality music off the top of my head, the best back and forth that I heard one track to the other musically was Dre Day versus Easy E's response.
Motherfucking G's.
Real Motherfucking G's versus Dre Day was the best two songs battle back and forth that I ever heard in hip hop. And it may sound biased because we from LA, but those were two hit songs that were battle songs. And that's just the way I feel about it. Jay and Nas
was dope,
was dope battle, but musically.
It was musically, yeah.
No,
they
I'm
weren't
just
hit
saying,
records.
That's why
you're
I separated
right.
Nigga from like lyricism, like raw MCing, yeah, they got that. But for overall, for like the overall everything else in hip hop, the Biggie shit, Biggie and Pac shit gonna be the Biggie shit forever.
Because niggas lost their lives,
of
quote unquote, behind it.
Yeah,
supposedly.
You know what I mean? So that's
allegedly.
Always gonna be Biggie.
Allegedly. We both know that wasn't the case, but it is what it is.
So let's double back to the Jay conversation real quick. So we had what? Gotta love it. We had Ether. Beans had Average Cat. Didn't Jail Felony?
He had a couple of them.
Didn't Jail Felony diss him too?
Yep.
Jail Felony killed Beanie.
He
Jail
did.
Family killed Beanie. Jail Family killed. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard because these, like, that's what I hate about the game. Some niggas, they feel like they so above niggas, they don't even respond to.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't even
but
respond
did,
to
But Jail did but go it, at it Jay, right? Is that, Jay. Yeah, he did. Somebody and Jay didn't respond,
that
right?
In his big ass lip. Yeah. My blood, Crip shit. Yeah, yeah. On that Crip Hop album, he got that Snoop. Yeah, he handed Snoop his
nigga
ass
said,
on
Daz
that
is
album.
Dead. Like yeah. Marley was saying, he
nigga Mitchie and them, Cronda with yeah. The weak arm wobbly shit. When he was going that strong arm
yeah,
steady.
Yeah, weak arm wobbly.
Yeah, nigga.
What album is that? I gotta go back and check that out.
You gotta go back around the Crip Hop area yeah. After that. Nigga. Okay. Yeah,
weak
yeah.
Arm wobbly.
Yeah. niggas don't know. About.
He was on Exhibit head too.
Yeah,
all them niggas.
Niggas ain't real
back then.
Fans
Exhibit
like
was part
that.
Of strong arm
right,
steady.
Right, right. Shout out to Jail Felony, man. That's crazy.
You know what I mean? So I mean,
nigga, shout out to Combo, nigga, and Self Scientific, nigga, Khalil, them niggas like the birth of that shit right there. Actually, Crondon is on Black Lightning from going
yeah, that's dope. Yeah, that's
rhyming
dope,
in the
man.
Club
that's
with that nigga
dope.
To L.A. nigga to him being on Netflix, being like
Channel
like,
5 and
that
or WB
straight
and
up,
Netflix.
Man.
That's
yeah,
dope,
man.
Bro. That's the maturity and the growth of hip hop, man, and that's one level of the game you definitely got to respect. So, to get back to the topic, so do you feel like Jay is just too big now to have to respond to any beefs? I mean, he never really did on his escalation up there, except for Nas. But I mean, at this point,
I mean, see, that's the thing. See, that's the part of hip hop that I never liked because it, sometimes niggas big. I don't even know the right word to use. Niggas kind of big time. You like. You ain't big enough to battle me, so they, I don't gotta respond to the slaying that you giving my ass.
The when celebrity
niggas,
shit.
When niggas hear it, niggas know Beanie killed Jay. Niggas know that fucking Cam killed Jay. Jay took a lot of L's in hip hop, but he just didn't. He only responded to Nas because I guess he felt like Nas was the only nigga on his level, and he might have been a little scared of Beans. So. Maybe yeah. That's why he kind of didn't go there with Beanie, because niggas feel like he's a wild card.
Mm-hmm. He know Beans to get at his ass in the streets, too, not just on some MC shit. And then it wasn't just the song, nigga. He had a whole fucking mixtape.
So who
nigga.
Took more L's, Jay or fucking Meek Mill?
I mean, we're just saying musically?
I'm talking about, like, as far as getting picked on by MCs.
Nah, I mean, Jay's at... It's Meek just because Meek's not at that level that a Jay's at. You know what I mean?
But it's crazy because Meek come from the corner, the battling circuit, and he's not on Jay's level as far as stardom and power. So you would think that a guy like that would have more influence coming from the, you know, the original way of doing things. But
well, I mean, I think he was trying to do it the way that he knows how to do it, and yeah. I think his opponent at that time, let's say Drake,
got too bougie,
like you
man.
Said, was on some other shit. It's kind of like where, you know, we're saying that Push is at now. You yeah. know what I mean? We're saying, hey, you're in that same spot.
You
so
can't really beat him.
You can't really beat him. The popularity contest is the people
it's
want Drake
real.
To win. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with Drake, I'll give him that. But when it comes to his label mates, niggas over there, and who was throwing jabs at him, I feel like he didn't win none of that shit. He got killed off by the game. It just seemed like he take a lot of L's. I think Meek is a lot of hype. I like Meek when he first dropped, but I don't know where this Meek shit come from. He's not that good of an MC to me. Personally,
I just think he's somebody that the street
character.
Folks can relate to.
They relate to him.
They relate
like him
to
as
his
a person.
His
more
yeah,
personality than
what they
is
believe
talent.
To be his morals and his fundamentals and the way he carries himself. There's
it's
people
like
who just
dude,
who respect that off top, especially since in this era there's not a lot of those type of dudes. Now I don't know Meek personally, but I'm just telling you, you know,
that
the things I've heard
corny.
From people when they
yeah.
talk to him.
That
that's what
corny.
It's become because it's not about the music, it's about the image. You know what I mean? It's and that's why it's fucked
Meek,
up.
No, we don't know. Meek could be like, that dude. We don't know. I'm just saying this is what that's what he projects, and that's what people who I've spoken to say, oh, I just, you know, Meek's a solid dude.
I feel what you're saying, and it make a lot of yeah. sense, but as talented as he quote-unquote is...
Yeah, it's not talent, bro.
Niggas hate...
Said.
Rosé, Ricky Ross, whatever you want to call him.
Rick Ross.
Officer
Eons
Ricky.
Ahead of them
Rick,
niggas,
Rick Ross, by far, is the best... rapper on his label. It ain't even close.
Right, of course. Ross is, you know, was like, one of the best rap artists in the game. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think Meek can even, it ain't even close.
I just think the streets and...
Meek is like at the bottom to me, nigga. It's like, I like Stolly when he was over there better than him. I like motherfucking,
You like Wale better?
No, Wale, yeah. I like Wale better, nigga. Okay. I like motherfucking, What's Gun the DC play? Nigga? I like Gunplay better. I liked Fat Trail better. I like Ross better. Meek was always at the bottom of the barrel over there for me. Like, I like features and certain shit that he did, but hearing him by
is
himself,
it just his voice and his delivery, or that's what it is?
I was over that shit 5-6 years
ago. He got that young energy. Maybe I'm just not feeling that type of MCing. Right. So, and I gave it a chance. Like when he was doing,
he always sound like Ace Hood.
He was
to
doing
me.
Them stories. Like on his rhymes, I forgot the Tony story, whatever.
Paulie,
all that shit. I was liking that shit. Like, okay, cool. But somewhere in there, I got lost and I really wasn't feeling the music.
You know what it was? When that nigga turned into a trap fucking rapper, that's when he really fucking turned me off. I liked him when he was doing the mixtapes before MMG, when he was doing the little stories, when he was the coming off the battle shit and all that. But when that nigga started doing all the 808 Mafias and Lex Luger's and all that shit, that's when I was like, I ain't really fucking with him.
I just think the game is watered down. It's to the point where, you know, no knock on Gucci and the rest of them niggas down south, when them niggas elevated and took the game, any little nigga who had any type of bars became like overvalued. Like Meek in the late 90s, Meek in the early 2000s, or even the 90s period, would have just been another nigga rapping. Like, he wouldn't have been no fucking star.
Do you think Wayne falls into that overvalued category?
I think so.
Or do you think he's legitimate?
I think the one thing I give Wayne, Wayne's different than everybody. I can't say now because I haven't really heard shit, but at the time, he just seemed like he was coming off the top of the head, and that type of shit just seemed like it's a lost art. Like, niggas don't even do that shit no more. And I'll be real with you, when he came with the first Carter, and he was talking about on Squad Up and them niggas and the first little single he had, I was like, this nigga is coming off. Like, it surprised me because I thought the Hot Boys from 98 to fucking 03 was garbage. Everything they dropped, every song, trash. Everything, trash. I didn't like none of that
nigga,
shit.
That was fucking the birth of fucking Gilly at Cash Money on the low. Okay, when it started changing.
It changed him. And then I feel like it was one of the things like Gilly, you know, quote unquote, wrote for the nigga, whatever they say. But then once Gilly was gone,
he had to keep that shit up.
He kept it going. He elevated it further than what Gilly had gave it to him. You know what I mean? So I give him respect in that. Because let's be real, it's a lot of niggas out here who took them time to become who they are. Niggas don't just jump into the game unless they got a hell of a cosign.
Wayne changed from a rapper into an MC at one point. He morphed.
Yeah, and the rest of
I give him his credit.
The rest of Cash Money stayed
as rappers.
What they were.
Right, you see Birdman and Manny Fresh got a new song.
I haven't heard it.
It's crazy.
I haven't heard
that
it.
That Cash Money documentary or whatever.
It sound like an old.
Yeah,
it sound like an old little Hot Boy song.
They try to do that signature New Orleans sound and bring it back to that Trigger Man type.
And then the second verse to keep up with the beef theme of the show, he's firing shots back at Rick Ross subliminally.
Okay.
Because Ross killed him on that.
That was cremation.
That's
he plucked his feathers.
Yeah, again, I'm not a big huge Ross fan, but man, that's up there. Probably, I don't know, man. I think that might be top 10 all time.
Sleeping, man. Ross makes solid ass music, man.
No, but I'm saying that track. You know,
you may not agree with all his content, but musically,
the way that something was put together, that was
chill. The way that he put
that goes back to what you said about the earlier topic. We wasn't talking about the actual track. We was talking about musically,
right?
And, you know, I mean, there's a difference between a battle track and musically.
Yeah,
and that was dope. Even though it was a beat that was reflipped, it was still new to this generation.
You know, my first issue was. I see what you did. You know.
Daddy, where have you been?
It
was clever.
So you're flipping that. It was a subliminal to the cats of our age because we know where that come from. You know,
Birdman is my daddy.
Like,
daddy. You know what I mean?
Nigga, daddy, where you been, nigga? So it's like, okay, I get it.
What'd he say? He said, "Fuck a skateboard. I went and got a Wraith board." Like, damn.
Yeah.
That
nigga. Man, he bought
Ross
his
was,
ass
Ross
up.
Was cold on that one. So yeah, like I said, Birdman responded on the second verse of that, so go check it out. I don't know the name of the song, but if you Google that shit, it'll pop up.
Ghostwriters, again, go ahead and write him a nice verse in response to the shit, or leave it alone.
Nah, that ain't happening.
Birdman, got enough money.
Birdman don't want that smoke.
I think there's some hidden gems in hip hop battling that just the masses don't know much about. Like,
Well, hip us.
The shit. The Common Cube battle, the bitching you by Common.
Oh, yeah. See, people don't talk that, about. That see, was I spoke the, on that before.
One of the best ever. I mean, right.
It's up there.
Another one that, for whatever reason, just forgotten, get left off of all of the top battles, but we all aware of it, Dollars and Cents.
Yes, Dollars and Cents.
Quick on Eight. That was top
to me,
three.
No, oh, yeah, to me, that's my goal.
Yeah. That's the greatest. That's what I'm saying.
The House of Pain and Quick Beef, nigga, where he was on them niggas in the early 90s on Everlast.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like. Yeah, it's some shit out there that definitely
we broke the hour and a half mark.
That's been, that gets overlooked. Like you know, I mentioned it earlier with the Dre and Easy shit. You know what I mean? That was, I don't know, man. Like so. when you hear shit like that, it makes battling it changed it. The West Coast, I guess, is more confrontational in your face, so you kind of get used to that kind of MCing. Well, I can't even really call it MCing, battling.
Well, commercial rappers in the West Coast wasn't that lyrical, so they had to find a way.
Niggas was literally game banging on wax. Like, that's the way niggas came at each other, like, fuck your hood type shit. And right. That kind of shit is appealing to me.
We come from the bagging generation. The nigga, you know, clowning. Niggas clowning each other. So, nigga, you that's like some regular neighborhood shit to know how to talk shit back.
That's why the Drake shit, when he just dropped it, yeah, he had some lines in there, but the shit was just so, like, it sounded so emotional, like a nigga was sitting on somebody's couch explaining himself.
Well, he sighed before he started the record.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm saying, you knew where it was coming from. You know what I mean?
It was estrogen filled. It's like your baby mama talking shit to you. She may be right and you in the wrong, but you gotta listen to this bitch talk to you.
Oh,
like, that's what it sounds like. This bitch, like, when is this bitch gonna stop nagging? All right, bitch, you made your point. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It did come off a little bitchy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It did. But for this generation, they don't know how to gauge this shit. They gauge that shit as scorching fire. When it was cool, I'll give him it.
No, it was a good track. Cool. And Pusher had to respond.
It was cool, but it wasn't like, ooh, I didn't even play that shit twice. I listened to it one time and I was done.
So 1-0 Push. How does Drake come back from what I thought, and this will be the final conversation we'll have. I feel that the shit that Push said about Drake's son, I know, Simon, you said moms. I'm saying son. You know, personally, this is me as a father.
Do side babies count?
All babies count, nigga.
He exposed that shit.
If you gonna create one,
he said all babies.
If you gonna create one, you gotta raise one. You know that.
Yeah,
everybody at this table except for shooting up the club, King OG got a seed that they raising. You know what I mean?
My dismount is impeccable.
My dismount is impeccable.
I need to start the sexual Olympics.
Kentucky Derby jockey ass nigga over here.
I'll take the gold medal every day.
Yeah. When she got 50,000 likes, nigga, it's hard to get to her.
Oh man, y'all, you know, we have to revisit that conversation.
Reach you with the crown. It's going down.
We have to revisit that combo.
MCs call me King OG, but the bitches call me Slim Jesus. Nigga.
So let's go back to that. In all seriousness, as a father, a man who is ashamed of his seed is, you know, ashamed of himself. Real spit. So that's Drake got to address that. You got a hidden baby.
But it's not a shame. You know what I mean? Like,
no, check it out.
No, no, listen,
he
man.
He fucked his little image up, nigga.
No, and that's what I'm about to say. Janet Jackson have a grown-ass kid that it was rumored to be, you know what I mean? And she kept that shit private. You know what I mean? And Drake is on that pop star shit to keep that shit private. You know what I mean?
But Janet ain't out there, you know. This happened, I guess, when Janet was young. I think it was mixed with the DeBarge. I don't know. I'm aware of the story.
But I mean, Drake got that clean-cut fucking American.
Right, but Janet, I think Janet was looked at differently as she, you know, as she grew. And, you know, it wasn't common knowledge back then. The internet wasn't real. You know what I mean? This is some shit we found out much later. I think it would have damaged her.
But it's the same. It's the same story.
No, but it would have damaged her if it would have happened during her run. She was already.
She'd have just been a mama. Like, what the fuck?
But back in that day, that's dead in it.
Dead in what?
You're telling me if Janet Jackson was 19 with a baby, people are still copping control and all this other stuff during that time frame. You think that's happening?
Yeah.
Nah, Simon, you tripping.
I think the time is different because my mind at first was like, damn, Cardi B making a mistake. But then I realized that the sign of the time with the social media shit, her fans are happy for her to be having a baby. Back
yeah,
then,
they get a bond.
Back then, it wasn't like that.
Back then, it was a death. With her, back then, it was done, especially for a brand new artist. If you had a baby back then, if Janet has a baby as she's starting her career.
But no, the family shit is marketable now, nigga.
But no,
nigga.
We're talking about back then.
Back then.
I know, we're talking about back then. Now, yes.
Now, the family shit is marketable.
Oh, yeah, now
nigga.
You get a reality TV show. You're doing your thing. You know what I mean? The baby's on Instagram. So that's what I'm saying with Drake. For him to, I didn't know he had a kid. So for him to,
me either, I didn't know.
Not have this kid at all visual. You show us how many hoes you show constantly on your Instagram on your social media. You know what I mean?
Expose that nigga.
But you're not showing your seed. You know, and you out here. What's that video where he at the beach and God's plan and all this kind of stuff?
Some kind of.
You over here? But I mean, I don't know if that make him shady. Maybe just a private ass nigga. You know, he's a pussy. You know what I mean? Like, this nigga ain't fighting nobody, so, you know what I mean? Like, how he gonna protect this kid and shit being out there? Like, when Drake go out,
Puff. Who gets slapped by Puff?
Nigga, they didn't even forget about it.
And you gonna have your son with you getting slapped right next to you and shit?
Niggas forgetting
that.
About nigga Chris Brown and them, nigga,
Tony Parker. They fucked up Tony Parker one season with a fucking glass in his eye and shit. Man, fuck Drake.
That cost you NBA semifinals or some shit.
Some shit like that.
He beefing off the Spurs, huh?
I mean, you know,
but how does Drake get past this? Does he respond to this? That's my
question.
But so how do you address this? As an artist, I'll ask you, Simon Capone. You're put in this situation. Your hidden child is exposed to your fan base.
God damn it.
Little DeAndre is exposed to the masses. How do you address that?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't know what his theory is behind it. So I mean, what I'm thinking is he's just trying to keep that shit private. You know what I mean? And not have them heckle while he out, you know what I mean? Because Drake can't do normal shit. He done with that shit for a long time. So, I mean...
That nigga baby got Mr. Marcus hair, dude. The Wesley Pipes eyes, man.
Oh, shit.
Nigga says he only toes, man.
That's fucked up.
I'm not even gonna clarify that statement, bro. I'm just gonna ask...
The Jada Fire's ears, man.
Damn.
He smiled like titty boy.
Damn it. Man, bootlegs and B-sides.
Yes, sir.
Fucking Drake, man.
Let me ask you. How do you feel Drake gets past this?
To be honest with you, when I seen him duck Joe Budden for 5 rounds, ran worse than Mayweather, and nothing happened, I honestly feel like it don't matter.
He's not a fucking MC.
He's bigger than this battle. And it's fucked up because this is all, as true MC fans, this is all we have to grasp onto. And a sucker ass nigga like this could actually duck out of the battle and it won't cause any problems. And then the rest of these niggas in the industry, even the true niggas we know that can rhyme, these niggas is such bitch made niggas, they'll still fuck with them because these niggas got mortgages to pay. So there's no repercussions for running. You know what I mean? So
right.
it's kind of fucked up. And not to get off that subject, I gotta throw this in here because we're talking about battling. I think the best battle, annihilation I ever seen was the way 50 Cent killed a whole label by itself. We didn't even touch on that. You know what I mean? So
nigga, what about motherfucking T.I. Lil Flip? That was bad.
Yeah, but at that time, T.I. wasn't shit, so it really didn't matter.
T.I. wasn't shit.
We liked him, but
he wasn't as big as he ended up being.
But nigga, Flip was a huge fucking, he went from the underground to a mainstream star, and he smashed him all the way back down.
I think Flip jumped off the building like that Playboy model bitch last week back in the day.
Damn.
When that nigga said, I said it on Facebook, I treat you like milk, I do nothing but spoil you. When he said that, the nigga slit his own wrist.
Yeah.
Murder, death,
when
kill.
When he tried to go super commercial.
Yeah.
It backfired.
It wasn't the same after that. Yeah, definitely.
It was done for him.
Flip was known for being like a freestyle nigga and shit in Texas. You know what I mean? Like on some underground nigga screw tape shit. And he went mainstream and kind of got caught slipping and T.I. hit that nigga in his soft spot. You know what I mean?
Other than the South, though, did anybody give a fuck about Flip?
I mean,
yeah, he was a national
his
star.
His mama? No, Sunshine. Was no, it called Sunshine?
That was Sunshine.
Yeah. Sunshine was a big hit for him, man. So
that's when Houston he had broke their through. Run, nigga. So there was all them niggas, Mike Jones, you know, it was about
I remember vividly. 2005 was Houston's year. But, so it was collectively, they was all winning. And they dropped the baton and got ran off on the relay like everybody else. 05 was they shit.
They start beefing.
Yeah, I mean,
they wasn't listening to Pimp C. Trying to tell niggas, nigga, that beef and shit, and look what happened.
But at the same
time, Houston straight crumbled, and they had the rap game before Atlanta got it back, before we got it back in the West Coast. They had their run.
They had that one
year. They had that chance, nigga. All them niggas came out and went platinum. Back to back to back to back to back.
But I got one thing to say about that, though. I know, and we ain't gonna be jumping subjects and shit, but I feel like hip hop was dead at that time, so it allowed them to do that. Because the next year, in my opinion, the Bay had it in 06. They had their quick little run, and then they dropped the baton.
That was a hyphy move.
That was a hyphy move. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
salute to the Bay.
So I feel like hip-hop was just a little bit weak at that time, so regional shit had its chance to do what they do. But at the same time, if it was quality, it would have stood the test of time, and I just don't feel like the MCs was that quality.
The snap era fucking slid in for a second.
Yeah, I mean,
it rocked with it.
I said, none of that shit was quality, so it peeked its head out the hole and then went back in the hole. You never seen it again. And that's the difference between quality music and some flash in the pan shit. And that's just what I feel about it.
I don't mean to twist the subject, but I spoke on this before. These youngsters, they so caught up in this new 808 shit. They love trap. But me personally, nigga, I think the crunk era with the 808s was way more impactful than the trap era. And they didn't grow up on that. I think the crunk music, nigga, was like a whole different. It was like trap on steroids. And
crunk
shit.
Exposed a different audience to that type of music. You know, when crunk is being played in you know, non-hip-hop clubs, top 40 clubs and stuff like that, that's when you knew crump had, you know, had taken over, you know. And so if no crump or no crunk, I don't think you get that same type of thing with, you know, trap and some of these other little sub genres that have kind of, you know, come from that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So at this day and age, you got to be high and drunk to even...
They on so many drugs that it's like slow motion shit.
You know, I just happen to come from a generation where, you know, especially for being from California, where you got DP'd out here in the West Coast. That means discipline for being on drugs. If you was from a certain neighborhood or part of a certain lifestyle,
not double penetration for you new motherfuckers. DP is originally discipline.
Like, you know what I mean? You had to. It was a certain standard you had to live up to. This day and age, like, being a junkie is the end thing. Like, bitches do coke with their niggas and pop pills and do all kind of shit. So, and that's the kind of music they listen to. And I'm just not with this this Nirvana shit that these niggas is on.
Nirvana.
It just ain't my
teen spirit. Eh?
Yeah, these niggas is like, you know, God bless the dead. Like, one of these niggas gonna Kurt Cobain themselves pretty soon.
There's been more than a handful, man. A rest in peace, you know, all those poor souls, man. But you're right. You know, the drug culture and the music culture is at a much dangerous level. You know, when it connects now, a lot of these kids, you know, are going down that path because of the music they're listening to. Where our generation was more about weed, you do have cats talking about coke and laid on, you know, cats were sipping on, you know, drink and lean and so, you know.
But no, man, they took the lean shit. It's a new level, though. The whole new level. Lean used to be like some fly player nigga shit, you know, you nigga. To the niggas that originated the shit, nigga. The originators of sipping lean is niggas that was like gangsters and pimps and shit like that. It wasn't some shit that it was to the point to where niggas didn't get leaned out to the point to where it have you like a junkie. It was some shit that niggas was using.
It's heroin, man. What the fuck? What are you talking?
Can I That's talk a, about what? Get the fuck out of here, fucking. You sound like fucking Martha Stewart, and you terrible.
You sounded like Pookie. No, but this shit. Hell, it is for Pimpin'. This shit.
Nigga, you don't even know what you're talking about. This is a culture you don't know what you're talking about. I sure know. Fuck out of here. Anyway,
all nigga, electronics are in nigga, place in my home and shit. Nigga,
it's generations. The original generation that started sipping right. lean, rappers. None of them niggas was dying like that. It, them niggas was on a whole different wave, not on no junkie shit. These motherfuckers took the shit to the point to where niggas that sip lean could handle they lean.
Well, but you had a lot of dudes that died young. Didn't like DJ Magic Mike die young? There's a couple cats that died from sipping lean early on.
That's the Texas
but
niggas.
But that's pimping, man.
No, but the thing about it is, because see, you don't know nothing about the whole culture that go around this shit, so you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm telling you,
so
fuck
shut the fuck up, nigga. Okay, fucking comedy skit, nigga. Nigga, what I'm talking about is the niggas that originated doing that shit. It wasn't like the nigga, hype culture nigga and shit. It was just like how niggas drink liquor and drink Hennessy. They would sip some lean, smoke some weed, and do their thing. And
right. Now I got
these
you.
Motherfuckers right now.
They're doing the most. They're taking
nigga,
it to the next
level. Nigga, they took it to a whole nother extent.
Just like we did in the weed culture versus our you know people who came before us. You know what I mean? You know, I remember growing up seeing you know people who I saw smoke weed smoking pinner joints. You know what I mean? Now you had somebody in pinner joint, they're gonna look at you like you out your mind. You know, now it's about the extendos and the broomsticks and you know everybody, you know.
Nigga, lean been around since the early 90s and nobody died off of lean except niggas from Texas that was OG vets off of that shit.
That was already sipping
until
for a
Lil
long
Wayne
time.
Came and made it popular.
Yeah, no.
If lean, they try to make it seem like it was something so terrible. It was just that niggas start listening to rap music and got turned out and want to try it. And they didn't know what they was fucking with.
Right.
And they dealing with some shit. They not knowing how deadly it is. And that's why they like junkies and shit.
Yeah,
and now
nah,
they,
man.
You know what I mean? It's a whole different level to it.
It's deeper than that.
You know what I mean?
When they popping pills with that shit.
Yeah,
and
they
all
mixing
that,
pills so, and dropping yeah. all that, all that other shit. Yeah. And then there wasn't no Molly back in the days when... You know what I mean? It's a whole generation of niggas that sip lean and they still alive right now.
Yeah. Well, man, that's definitely one of my beefs with hip hop is just to wrap it up is, you know, lean and the drug, the prescription
cool
pill and stuff like that.
Shit,
yeah, man. It's so, you know, hopefully cool. Hopefully we see more younger MCs, rappers, artists embrace a, you know, more positive message. So
you think it's motherfuckers that's rhyming and exploiting this shit and you know talking about being a druggie like 50 like 50 where like 50 don't drink he don't smoke and shit like that but
lying like
always rhyming and shit about that shit.
No, I think there's a lot of these kids out there that don't live that life. I mean look at the little Tay girl that got busted or whatever. So there's celebrities, there's these guys that become celebrities. I mean what's the kid from Academics has a songs about living that lifestyle in a pretend fantasy realm, and you know, he's pushing that music to his fans.
Bullshit.
So you know, there's definitely people out there that's faking the funk. You know what I mean? I 100% agree with that, man. But I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna wrap the show up. Before we do, just want to again big ups to the Digital Soapbox Network. You know, once again, proud to you know definitely be on the Digital Soapbox Network and. Shout out to Overtime Hustle the magazine is always the home team. Issue 15 is up now with Kid Oceanside, very own City Boy. Big shouts out to him. Daylight, my man King OG did that interview. Dream Doll is in the magazine. Compton AV, who has some new music dropping soon. Big ups to him and so much more in there. And you can go ahead and find issues are. All issues are available online at overtimehustling.com and physical copies. If you want one, you can go ahead and contact 21K over there and he'll go ahead and take care of you. So again, that's it. Big shout out to everybody who supported us and continues to listen to us. Like, share, and you know, comment. Tell your friends about us. You know, hopefully you'll tune in again and you'll be able to find us again. the Digital Soapbox Network. So we're going to leave tonight showing some love to a little youngster out there. He's about 14 years old. This is his first record instrument, or one of his first instrumentals he's produced. So producers, send us your music. You can send that to dwhatshattening@aol.com, or just go ahead and hit us up on any of our Instagrams at Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.
Original music, sample free music.
Sample free, yeah, definitely. Send us your sample free music. And, you know, we'll go ahead and play your joints. But we're going to go with Jay Beats tonight. And he has a track that's called World. So we're going to go ahead and play that for y'all. Hit us with some feedback. You can get him on SoundCloud at Jay Beats, J A I Beats. At SoundCloud. So once again, it's your boy. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, let's have an honest conversation about hip hop. Peace.
Overtime hustling.